if every single thing on your desktop is recorded and could be leaked at some point, could be compromised. In other words, we know your not just search history, you know, even on incognito mode, whatever's happening on your desktop is recorded, whatever video game you're playing, you know, who you're chatting with. You know, you're starting to get into a territory where you are, it's Truman Show. This is the Truman Show. Your desktop is the Truman Show. Now, just let that sink in. Are you cool with that, Sandeep?
This Week in Startups is brought to you by Vanta. Compliance and security shouldn't be a deal breaker for startups to win new business. Vanta makes it easy for companies to get a SOC 2 report fast. Twist listeners can get $1,000 off for a limited time at vanta.com/twist. LinkedIn Jobs. A business is only as strong as its people, and every hire matters. Post your first job for free at linkedin.com/twist. And Fitbod. Tired of doing the same workouts at the gym? Fitbod will build you personalized workouts that help you progress with every set. Get 25% off your subscription or try out the app for free when you sign up now at fitbod.me/twist.
It's Monday, which means Sandeep Madra from Definitive Intelligence is here to do This Week in AI. It's our AI roundtable every Monday. The world's going crazy for it, Sonny. Everybody tunes in Mondays to see your demos. And I know you've got a lot of demos lined up for us. Let's just get right into it. Enough with the banter. Yep. They're here for one reason and one reason only, to keep up with AI. And it is a full-time job for you and I to look at this stuff every week. Let's do it.
Yeah, it is. And this week, we're going to focus on big company demos. And so we always see, you know, this week in startups, but the big companies are having to compete with the startups. So this time around...
Oh, so Apple fixed Siri?
No.
Amazon fixed Alexa?
Well, they did invest a few billion dollars into Anthropic after spending about $100 billion on Alexa. So that's kind of crazy.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So wait, I got two of the big three. What am I leaving out here?
No,
we did more last week.
Yep. So we're going to do OpenAI. We're going to do OpenAI.
Huh.
Obviously, $90 billion, I think, was the valuation that was being floated last week.
Well, that's a float.
We're going to do Meta with their WhatsApp integrated chats.
Yeah.
And we're going to do Windows Copilot as well.
What?
Yes.
Windows Copilot is out?
It's out if you can get your hands on it, yes.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, this one, I have to say, you know, as the host of the show, I kind of feel like we need to start with Microsoft.
Oh, okay. All right.
The only reason I'm saying that is people forget that Microsoft is dominant on the desktop to this day. You know, we live in this little Apple bubble when you're in the tech business where you think somebody comes out with a ThinkPad or whatever they call them today. You know, or a Dell machine, and you're like, oh, developer or a banker, because, you know, a lot of the creatives use Apple product out here in the Bay Area. But the truth is, the majority of the world still runs on Windows, and Windows, I got a Windows machine over here. I use Windows half the time, my super powerful Dell.
Windows? Wow.
Well, I use both. My practice has always been, my best practice, have whatever the latest, hottest Dell is, because I like to have a gaming rig. So I have a Dell gaming laptop up in Tahoe. And then I have a Dell gaming tower here at home. And then I have a MacBook Air, and then I have a MacBook Mini. So I like I like to switch between the operating systems. And since everything's in the cloud, you can actually do that quite easily now. I mean, my desktop Windows supports iCloud. I don't know if you knew that, but you can have your iCloud drive there. Now, the only thing you really can't have is iMessage. So that's the one blocker. But when I'm on my Mac, I just have my phone and my little Anchor Cradle ready if I need to do iMessage. And then I use a Logitech keyboard just for another quick little tip for those of you out there. And it has three Bluetooth buttons on it now.
Okay.
And my second Bluetooth button is my phone. So I can hit the second button, open iMessage on my phone in a cradle. I keep it in this like little Anchor Cradle kind of situation. I'll show you right here. I'll put it up on the screen.
So
this is my favorite Anchor Cradle because it has a little
Watch as well.
The watch, and you can put here your
AirPods,
and then it folds up.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to take it on the road, it's like a little tiny little robot. But anyway, I connect my Logitech. Gosh, I love Logitech keyboards. I connect my Logitech keyboard to that phone, just click that, and I'll start typing a response to my thing, and then I can click number one and go back to my desktop.
Wow.
So it works just really seamlessly. But a Windows Copilot, my Lord, I mean, I could have, there would be no IT department or PC specialist, which was my first job title, had there been one. So I got to see this. But you brought a device?
Yeah, I went and bought like a Windows laptop. It's the only way to really try it out. So let's get right into it, the Windows demo. So I'm going to share my screen. I'm going to go the whole screen here. There we go. And
all right, that's a Windows desktop.
That is a Windows desktop. And yep.
Beautiful.
You know, kind of Windows 11 actually was one of my first times using Windows 11. I hadn't used it. So they've done a nice job kind of changing the start button. Search is integrated natively. But what you get here is you can see this Copilot preview.
Ooh, and so there's a button on your taskbar.
Yep.
You still have the taskbar on Windows at the bottom, and there's just a little colorful Copilot. What happens when you click on it?
You click on it, and you get this right-hand, fully integrated, and I have some stuff I've been doing, and I didn't know how to clear that out. But and so basically, it's Ask Me Anything, and so you can be like, turn on dark mode. So that's just, you know, your IT question. You know, people are going to have this. Oh, how do
Where's
I do it?
Where's dark mode in my settings?
Yeah. You don't even have to say, where is it in the settings? You can just tell it to turn on dark. Yeah. And so you can say, turn on dark mode. It says, turn on dark mode. Sure. Would you like me to turn it on? I say, yes.
Ooh.
And there you go. It turns it on.
Wow.
So, you can, you know, and so you can think about anything settings related.
You say, how much memory does my computer have?
Okay.
You know, sometimes you want to ask your mom, you know, like, you know, I don't know what. This is one of the first things the IT department might say, you know, like, hey, how much memory does your computer have?
I didn't think of that when I was doing more of the settings thing. And this looks like it's going to do a kind of a more traditional Gen AI search. When it does searching for it, kind of going out to the model and it's coming back with like a, here you go, like go into the settings app.
Yeah.
And do it.
So it's this is what I expected it to do.
Yeah. But for some of the things, like the one I just showed you, it's natively integrated, like changing some of the settings. And like they're just working through it, and it's still in beta mode. But, you know, this gives you the standard way of getting
it. Right, so that did a web search with Bing, obviously, and it said, hey, and it gave citations. So it says, learn more. So it told you how to do it. It didn't do it.
So another thing,
you know, when you're on the, you know, when you're having IT problems, you know, would be really nice to know is how much disk space am I using and how much free disk space do I have?
Okay, so let's do that.
You know, like even to this day, you know,
is going to do a search again.
So it's doing a search. So I'm giving the Windows people, just so you know, Microsoft, you're welcome. I'm giving you the IT checklist that I would go through here. Like, because these are things that the Copilot should know. But this is also a little bit dangerous, Sunny, because if I can ask the Copilot how much memory this has, et cetera, you know, it just could be a little challenging, but you're asking it to open your printer settings. That's an interesting thing that it should be able to do that. I'm going to guess it does that.
Let's see. Oh, hold on. It's still stuck in responding.
It's going crazy here.
Yeah. And
so you asked it to open my printer settings, and again, it's searching for it. So
it's searching
some
for
settings
it.
Are on. How about open Drudge Report? Let's see if it knows it's a website. So don't put in the .com. Just say open Drudge Report.
Okay.
Let's see. This would be a very interesting one if it knows like what you want it to do. Open Drudge Report. Let's see if it does it. Or, you know, like open Gmail or something.
Yeah.
Because this is an action we want it to take. Yeah. So it's doing searching. So far, bad experience.
Yeah. So it's opening it. Okay. Yes. Okay,
yeah. Would you like to open? It's asking us if you would like to open your web browser. You can get to the Drudge Report. So it's basically queuing it up for us to click on the link. So you could have clicked on the link there and just opened Drudge, but that's interesting. Yeah. How about you say, is it Microsoft Edge is the name of that? So let's see if it can.
The browser.
See if it will close the browser. So instead of closing the browser by hitting the X, let's ask the Copilot to close it.
Okay.
See if it will close the browser.
And close my browser.
Yeah. You didn't say Edge or anything like that. So let's see if it does that. See if it does that. Close my browser. Yeah. Nope. See now, I think they're probably, there's going to be a lot of security concerns here, Sandeep, on like allowing
This is weird.
It
did say open app. Yes. Adjust volume, which is weird as well.
That's weird. Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting. Okay. If you're a SaaS or services company that stores customer data in the cloud, then you need to be SOC 2 compliant. You knew that. from a third party. And you need that third party to close big deals. And if you want to get compliant easier and faster, you need to use Vanta, V-A-N-T-A. Vanta makes it so easy for you to get and renew your SOC 2. On average, Vanta customers are SOC 2 compliant in just 2 to 4 weeks. Compare that to 3 to 5 months without Vanta. And Vanta can save you hundreds of hours of manual work and up to 85% of compliance costs. This is a total no-brainer. And Vanta does more than just SOC 2 compliance. They also automate up to 90% compliance for GDPR, HIPAA, and more. You can't afford to lose out on major customers. We all know that. Listen, it's a hard year. Last year was hard. You can't lose those major customers because you don't have your compliance dialed in. Just work with Vanta. Get your compliance automated and tight is right. Lock down those big deals. Here's the best part. Vanta is going to give you $1,000 off. That's 10 hundies. Get $1,000 off at Vanta.com/twist. That's Vanta.com/twist for $1,000 off your SOC 2. They must have told you, like, here's things to do with it. So, I mean, having it be a persistent ChatGPT for window is nice, but yeah. What can it do that interacts with my Windows desktop? What can it do that interact with my Windows desktop?
Yeah, and look, I don't use Windows day to day. And, like, you know, what it's really meant to do is integrate in, like, to all your documents and everything else so you can search through it. I haven't been able to try that. Like, it's a brand new machine. I just wanted to give it a try, kind of like the integrated experience. What I like about this, and, you know, this is, you'll see this in some of the upcoming demos here. It's just there for everything.
Persistence.
And exactly. And, you know, you've been talking about this with respect to your team and yourself. Mm-hmm. And so once this is there, it's overlaid on top of everything. You know, like you said, it's starting to be integrated with some of the applications. So we can see the potential here of where this can go. And, you know, again, they have this in preview mode, so we'll probably have to give them a grade, but, like, it's, you know, nice to see them have it out there, and this feedback will just continue to make it better.
Yeah, I mean, my grade is, like, I give them an A for ambition.
Yeah.
And a D for execution.
Oh, okay.
Wow. There's no execution here so far that I've seen that I can't do by just having a window open with ChatGPT-4 in it. So it's great that it's in the toolbar, but that's kind of like showing up. It's table stakes. I could put ChatGPT-4 in there. There have to be specific use cases that they've come up with. Now, the reason I bring up security is, you know, if this thing is tied in to settings and it's on the internet and somebody were to get access, you know, there are all these videos online.
Oh, yeah.
On YouTube of, like, people trying to scam old people to do things. Like, if you got access to the Copilot, but you didn't have it on the top level of the screen, but you were doing stuff with it, you know, you could have a prompt that does something pretty gnarly in here.
It's really fascinating that you bring that up. And that's maybe what, but it's interesting that it let me do dark mode, but it won't let me change my pointer speed, because that's, like, dark a very mode, common question.
Yeah. But here's the thing, dark mode, there's no cost to it. So when you are evaluating what to allow users to do, you just look at the threat level. Right. Like, so if you wanted to reformat the hard drive, or if you wanted to do a search of your documents, like, okay, now we're getting into, or passwords.
Yeah.
You know, that would be, you know, if you said, hey, what's my Windows password? You know, like, it's not going to tell you that. So, but, you know, I think it's kind of useless in this current form. It's just a window that's open, but it's ambitious. And what I would like to see it be able to do is, I'll give them a couple of ideas since, you know, we did have the Google Bard team took notes and they reached out to us. Like,
they reached out. Yeah. Right away.
Three or four people DM'd me and they're like, we're going to get, you know, one of them was a little upset. I think you were CC'd. He was like, listen, my mom's really upset about me getting a C. Yeah. I've never gotten a C in my life. You know, there's some overachievers at Google and I gave them a C. They were upset. So I said, work harder. That's all. But here's what we need to do for Windows. I need to know what I've been working on all this time on my Windows desktop. So what I would want to say is something to the effect of, what was I working on last week? What were the websites that I visited most last year that I didn't visit this year, right? And so it has access to my history. You know, what Zoom calls have I done? The value of this being on the desktop level and in the operating system level, Sunny, is that it has 100% access. In some ways, it's like a DVR of your desktop, a digital video recorder of your desktop. It should know not just my browser history, but it should know everything that's occurred on my desktop.
Yeah.
And it should know that. Like, take, for example, if you were using WhatsApp, Signal, and I don't know, what's another messaging product, but, you know, you're using a Telegram. Yeah. So let's say you used all three of those and Slack. You could, it should be able to normalize those four and say, who do I chat with most? And it would know you have four chat programs and then make a list. Here are the people you chat with on Signal, people you chat with on Telegram, et cetera. Or who should I invite to my birthday party? It should say, well, these are some suggestions for who you should invite to your birthday party, because look at all the different people you've been chatting with and you've been emailing with, et cetera. That's the kind of stuff you really want it to do, is to abstract the application layer and just have all the data. Every conversation I have across anything that's typed on the screen, it has. Any news story I've read, it should have. So what do I know about Fusion technology and what don't I know? Well, if you're using your desktop all the time, and it knows I've read these articles, it knows those articles and the information is in it. It knows what's not in there because it has the corpus. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like,
well, you know, it's an interesting thought. I'll just add one thing to it. Like, one of the superpowers of Google over the last 25 years, right? Because they just celebrated their 25th anniversary, was that it was an intent. It was a window into the intent of people's minds. And it was the only place, that had it, because, and now that's changing. There's several companies that have access to that now that, kind of the examples you're giving could be really powerful for someone like Microsoft to implement alongside, these models that exist. So I think those are really good ideas.
Yeah. We had Rewind AI on the program, episode 1745, Dan Siroca, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly. Dan with Rewind AI is building this like desktop DVR. And this is scary as heck, because what it's doing is it's recording every Zoom call, everything on your desktop. So if you went to a site that maybe you didn't want people to know.
Yeah.
And this is, I think, something that everybody needs in corporate America to understand, especially with remote work. And I'm having this conversation with my team. We're recording every investment team call. So I had to tell everybody, listen, assume at some point this gets leaked or somebody joins the company and searches our archive of, investor calls. Yeah. And then they leak your video interacting with somebody, or they leak a conversation. And then whatever you did, the stupidest thing you did, is now recorded.
Yep.
Because in order to get the value from AI, we have to give the corpus to AI. Now, whatever was published on the web, somebody hit the publish button.
Correct.
But assume that every Zoom is now being recorded and summarized. Assume everything you do on your desktop, every single key, will be recorded by AI and studied. And this is going to be like the next weirdness that we have to get through as a culture. And I don't, like GPS was one of them. Do you worry that people know where you are all the time because your phone's in your pocket? And that you can be tracked everywhere?
No, because the value of having GPS is greater for me.
Precisely. Now, if every single thing on your desktop is recorded and could be leaked at some point, could be compromised. In other words, we know your not just search history, even incognito mode, whatever's happening on your desktop is recorded, whatever video game you're playing, who you're chatting with. You're starting to get into a territory where you are, it's Truman Show. This is the Truman Show. Your desktop is the Truman Show. Now, just let that sink in. Are you cool with that, Sandeep?
Well, look, I think...
Because you said before you were okay with it because of the value of GPS.
Yeah. What I would say is, like, it's Truman Show and, like, Minority Report a little bit. Because remember, in Minority Report, outside the stuff with the precogs, it was about a society that understood... each person, like all the advertising was customized. Remember, that's the first time we ever saw that, when Tom Cruise went up to a little terminal and it gave a customized ad, and it was purely customized on everything they did. So this is a version of the future that, in sci-fi has been proposed before. Like, I think overall, I'm okay with it. I think it just comes down to controls. Like, I do think if you're, doing something in incognito mode for whatever reason it is, like, it shouldn't make it into these systems and they have to obey that. Mm. The problem is trust. Like, I do trust Microsoft more than maybe a random startup, right?
Because of course, they've been around longer. They have more to risk. And a startup will bend the rules and break the rules. And we see abuse at startups in the early days. Facebook had to reprimand a number of employees who were stalking their ex, in this case, it's girlfriends, because it was male on female data breaches. There was a number of people, and before they had the controls, and Uber had a the managers of Uber could watch for security reasons, obviously, what was going on in their city. Now that became, hey, who has access to that? And you know, famously, it'd be like, oh, a politician is going from point A to point B. What if point B is somewhere the politician doesn't want you to know they're going? You know, at a time, and then they're coming home at a certain time, like. You literally, if you think about your Uber, like you and I leave the club at 4 a.m. and come back to the hotel, like, okay, And people are like, hey, well, why are Sonny and Jake out coming back from, you know,
4 a.m.
Encore Club, Marquee or whatever, you know, it's like, well, it because we're popping bottles. Let's be honest.
We're having a good time.
We're having a good time.
It's a, you know, brave new world.
Brave new world is a good way to say it. Yeah.
Right.
Well, okay. So, clip this, this needs to go to Satya Nadella. D, what do you give them? You're such a forgiving grader. I feel like you're just giving them like a participation trophy.
I'm a builder, dude. It's hard in today's world at the pace that these things are going. Mm-hmm. What we've forgotten about is we're getting this stuff. We used to get a Windows release every 5 years and you remember
you get a new CD-ROM.
Yeah, exactly, right? And now, look, okay, we're approaching 1 year. This November 30th last year is when ChatGPT was released. Less than 1 year later, it's integrated into Windows. That's what I, and in a big corporation, and I've done stints in both, like startups that have been acquired that have been there, it's hard to get things to move this fast. And so to me, I think I'm really enthusiastic about the pace of innovation because that's what leads to us as consumers getting, you know, more.
So your letter also, grade is?
This one, I'm going to say B minus.
B minus. Okay. So you're grading on a very gracious curve here.
Engineer's curve.
we want them to release stuff early and often. So, okay, fine.
Yes.
I'm just giving it the actual utility for the user. I give it a D. But what do you think Microsoft... If we give Microsoft a couple of notes here, I came up with a couple. You have any that you thought would be interesting? That would be like a good next step for them. You like changing to dark mode, but what else would you like to see? Yeah,
I mean, I think you'll see this in some of the upcoming demos as well. Like a little bit more, there's like a little bit of like a blank start problem with these, right? When they first start, there needs to be a little bit more like, and you know, the LLMs are good at that. They need to kind of prompt you a bit more and to, like you said, like look at what's going on with your information, your machine.
My next question.
Exactly. Kind of get ahead of it a little bit. Hey, can I help you with a search?
Which
can I
they're
help you
uniquely qualified to do. It's like this thing can read your mind.
Yes.
So why isn't it reading my mind? When you open it, it should say, here's some things I can do.
Yeah.
I can change from light to dark mode. I can find a document you can't find. Yeah. I could tell you who you're emailing with next year. And you could actually click those and they're prompted.
Yeah. Or if you're having some problem, like we were going through the IT support stuff, hey, it looks like you are having trouble connecting to your printer or whatever it happens to be, right?
Yes, that's what it should be. Yes, of your error messages, you keep having this printer run out of ink.
Yeah.
Would you like to get a subscription on Amazon to ink? You know, like that's actually a really interesting thing. It could actually give you life. Hey, I see you're searching for travel on Google Flights all the time.
Yeah.
You know, Expedia is ranked above Google Flights or vice versa. Would you, you know, you should try that. Or here's some other websites. Oh, you read Drudge Report. Did you know about, you know, Tech Meme or Inside.com? Here's some other ideas for places for you to go. That's actually would be more valuable because they're informing you of stuff that you don't even know to ask.
Yeah. And that's interesting. I think that's where, you know, what this whole next era is about, kind of knowing what I want and having it ready for me and kind of partly doing it for me as well.
I would like to hear them maybe say, hey, you're having memory issues. You might want to upgrade your Firefox because you're on an old version and the new version does better memory management. Or, hey, you know, your Zoom is breaking up. You're on slow Wi-Fi. Did you know that there's a higher version of Wi-Fi? Or you've got a lot of collisions on your network. Maybe you should upgrade your router. Like this is the kind of stuff, the IT stuff, where it could give you suggestions proactively looking for bugs and stuff like that, viruses, But, you know, I have gotten a ton of, so anticipatory IT support, let's just put that in a bucket, right? Okay, everybody?
Yep.
At Microsoft.
I would also add.
Oh, look, producer Nick dropping in on the conversation. Go ahead, famous producer Nick. Go ahead.
If I was Microsoft, I would also add a prompt when you open, especially because they know if it's an enterprise device or not. If it's an enterprise device, start a prompt. What is your job role? What are your goals? So it knows, hey, if you're a developer and you're trying to work on your, let's say you're in a giant Excel file, right? And you're doing something with Python and your computer is overheating, as I'm sure all of us have had before, right? You open a big Excel file and your computer starts making crazy noises. Okay, well, guess what? Zoom is taking up a lot of compute. So if you quit out of Zoom, then maybe your Excel file will run a little bit smoother. It should be able to tell you that. And if it could do that, I mean, that would be incredible.
Yeah. It could give you a suggestion as well. Hey, I think that you're in the accounting department, or I think you're a salesperson. Is that your role? Or give me your LinkedIn. And it looks at your LinkedIn. And now it's like, hey, I know your LinkedIn and I know who you're chatting with. By the way, did you know you have these 10 really important people on your LinkedIn? I had a moment today where somebody was like, hey, this person would be a great LP for your fund. I go to LinkedIn, I look at their page, and it was like, accept their, they had asked me to be a connection. I don't know when, how many years ago. I never accepted it because I have too many coming in. So this idea of like understanding your job role is just a great one, Nick. And then how you like your stuff formatted. Because ChatGPT only knows what I tell it and what I've interacted with it. Whereas Windows Desktop knows everything I do. Yep. That's the big win. So it should be building your persona over time. Hey, I see that you're a Knicks fan. I see you're a Warriors fan. Did you know there's tickets available for tonight's game at a very low price? Did you know that the Knicks, like it should know the Knicks are playing the Warriors, you know, or the Sacramento Kings, and tell me that.
Because it knows browsing,
I read Knicks content all day.
Between my browsing history and my downloads folder, you know everything. I mean, my downloads is
it.
Like...
Yeah, your download folder is pretty intense. I'm going to leave it at that. This has been great. So Microsoft, the potential is life-changing here. Your execution is underwhelming. I give you a D. Sunny gives you a B minus. But I didn't give you a D minus. I just gave you straight up D. Creating a job and finding qualified candidates, it's so time-consuming. Don't I know it? Oh, I'm trying to add 5 positions right now because things are going so well at the launch fund. But you know what? I have a secret weapon, and I'm going to share it with you. LinkedIn Jobs. They're about to hit 1 billion users over at LinkedIn. So just think about all the insanely qualified people that are there looking for work. You just go post your role on LinkedIn and you will be 100% certain that you got access to the most qualified candidates. And guess what? First one's on us. That's right. First drink's on us. Go to linkedin.com/twist and post your first job for free. You got nothing to lose. And that will give you that purple ring on your profile. You see that? Everybody's got the purple ring now. That means everybody in your network knows you're hiring. They click on it and you'll get those friends of friends, right? Those are the really high quality leads that you want applying to your job because there's someone in your network who can vet them. So I did that for launch and I do it for Inside, and we found so many amazing people at our company. When you think LinkedIn Jobs, I want you to think better candidates faster. Let me say that one more time. Better candidates faster. LinkedIn Jobs will help you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/twist. That's linkedin.com/twist to post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. We knew that this dogfight was coming. Bard dropped their plugins. Now, multimodal's here. Have you played with it?
I have, and it's been pretty incredible.
Is multimodal available to everybody, or do you have to turn it on?
I think if you have enterprise, so basically we're going to drop in right now and we're going to do a couple of demos ourselves. I'm going to give some credit just to the community who's done some remarkable ones, which I think some people would have seen on Twitter, like the parking sign one and the find the Waldo one. But let's get going here. So let me just get this window open. And we have a couple of ones. I think J-Cal will appreciate these a lot too.
Oh, okay. Here we go. All right. So I see you uploaded a picture of a hamburger with an egg on it.
Yep. And I asked it a question, how can I make this?
Hey, great.
And then what you see ChatGPT does is, let me first take a look at the image and understand what you're referring to. I'll display the image. And so it basically loads the image up itself, which you can see here is a very particular
brioche bun with a little arugula and an egg with the weak yolk. We assume there's a burger patty under there. I see some great cheese under there. That's what a human sees.
Yep. And it says, it looks like a delicious burger with an egg on top. To make this burger with an egg, you typically need the following ingredients. Okay. And so it lists out the ingredients here, patty, bun, lettuce, egg, right? And then it gives you the instructions.
Wow. Yeah. So it's like kind of trying to reverse engineer it. You give it an image and then it works backwards. So it knows what's in the image. It knows that you want to make it. So it gives you a recipe. And this is multimodal, as we discussed, image first.
Yep.
You input an image and then you work backwards. So here you did another image.
Yep.
And what did you ask it with this one?
Well, I know this is a big thing for you these days, J.Cal, after you've been on the Ozempi and workout regimen. And so
I'm a little outfit. Ozempi. People saying I have Ozempic face now. I don't think it's that bad, folks. But I mean, maybe in another 10 pounds, I'll have Ozempic face. But.
And so I gave it a lemon to analyze the aesthetics of this outfit and estimate the cost.
Oh.
And so here you can see here, it uploads the image and it says, first, I'll take a look.
Oh, and then okay. So that seems to be like a step it takes when you give it an image. It does the take a look. It's almost confirming with you what it knows.
Correct. And then basically it goes, based on the image displayed, overall style, it says modern and leans towards smart casual or business casual look.
Smart casual look. I agree. Yeah. It's a person wearing a pair of slacks with a blazer, not a suit. Yep. He does have a collared shirt on, but he has gone full Chamath. He's down at least three buttons, he's definitely thinking about going for the fourth.
Yeah. Color palette is muted to neutral.
Okay, right? That's right. And common choice for outfits, aiming for versatility and a timeless look.
Yeah.
Personal.
Shirt, blouse, jacket, blazer, trousers, and then it couldn't find any accessories.
It's very interesting that it knows it's trousers with a jacket or a blazer as opposed to a suit. So it's, I mean, I know this is obvious for all of us, but for men's fashion, it is a very different look to combine separate pants and jackets. So you can buy trousers and you can buy jackets or you can buy a suit. And this is a, you know, when you start mix and matching tops and bottoms, that's when you can get yourself in trouble and the suit abstracts that away. But it knows that this is smart casual. Now, did it bring up the fact that there's a hanging pair of tortoiseshell sunglasses in his pocket? Did it notice that?
Let's see.
And the accessories. Not,
I cannot pinpoint any specific accessories from the image. So it missed that.
It missed that. Okay. So that's something a human got, but it didn't. Because I know everybody loves like parasol. I think they call that tortoiseshell, that kind of like. Yep.
That, yeah, that look. Yeah.
That look.
Yeah. But you can see how this is powerful. And then, you know, one of the things that we should do here is just go to, you know, Greg, who's the CTO of OpenAI. He's been sharing some great posts. And so, you know, here
and this is
one.
By the way, Peter Yang, just shout out because we talked about this on All In and he was thrilled that he got a mention, but he didn't get we didn't say his name on the show. So I'll just say that now. So he gets it.
Yeah.
So you explain this
so
one.
So basically what he did was like, we've all tried to park in some ridiculous parking zone that has multiple signs with, you know, different exceptions. And ChatGPT was able to work its way through the reasoning of all these different conditions around parking. And there's an image here with like, it looks like, you know, maybe five different parking conditions. And it determines that you can park there for 1 hour starting at 4 p.m. basically.
Yeah. It's like one of those New York crazy, like, don't dream about parking here 17 different ways. And you're like,
But there were some other interesting ones that I just want to give a shout out to, which I thought were super fun before we go into the next demo.
The one I liked most, I think you just passed it, was this code one where somebody was drawing like a UX and then it wrote code.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's not that one there. Let me do this one first and go to code one. But Finding Waldo, which is pretty interesting. You know, we've all done Where's Waldo?
Sure.
Did you see this one?
Children's book.
The children's book. And so it was a pretty incredible. It says Waldo's located near the center of the image. He's standing next to a table. So in this image that I have pulled up here, you can see he's right there.
There he is.
And then the code examples were excellent. And so if we go back to, so what McKay does in this particular example is basically he has a whiteboard drawing of a workflow for his application. And it, talks about like sort of how he's going to like sort of a sign up form that then leads to an output of like a site or which goes to like a kid's version or an adult version, essentially. And, you know, he takes basically talks about taking an email, a name, and then has ChatGPT generate the code for it. He then takes the code, sticks it into a, you know, IDE tool, and then has it working. And so this is very, very powerful and advancing very quickly. You know, who thought last year when this came out that we would be able to just do a whiteboard image and from whiteboard image concept. And think about the number of tools that have been created, J.Cal. You've probably even interacted with these before, right? Tools for mocking things up and just having, you know, designers just create like
course. Like InVision, Balsamic.
Yeah, exactly. You've used them.
There's tons of these, yeah.
Yeah, now you can
just... wireframing tools, basically, workflow tools, Figma, obviously.
Yeah.
And so here, you know, it's explaining, you know, like the logic flow, et cetera. And I guess ChatGPT-4 understands this and then can make it code. And, you know, where this is going, folks, is, you know, in the future, Sunny and I will have a third co-host here. And if we were talking about building a piece of software and having a brainstorming session, ChatGPT-4 would be a guest, would be a participant in your Zoom call. So just imagine next year in the Zoom call is an AI, and that AI is taking notes for you. Well, that's already happening, right? That's built into Zoom. Now imagine that AI, one of them's a developer, and the developer or the UX designer, when Sunny and I said, wouldn't it be good if it did this? Wouldn't it be good if it did that? It actually made the spec. It wrote the spec like a product manager. It designed it and it wrote the code and then sent it back to you. And was showing it to you in real time. All right. You know, I've been on a health kick over the past year, and you know, I care about data-driven solutions. And if you listen to this podcast, I bet you do too. So let me tell you about Fitbod. This is a data-driven workout app that blends machine learning with exercise science. Fitbod creates custom dynamic workouts programs based on your fitness goals, your experience, and most interestingly to me, the available equipment. Let's say you got a bunch of kettlebells, or let's say you're at some, you know, sparse gym at a hotel, or you're on vacation, you got nothing. Well, Fitbod will maximize your fitness gains by varying the intensity and the volume between your sessions and leverage the equipment you have or don't have, as the case may be. You can customize the length of your workout, what muscles you want to target, and so much more. So let's say you want to get a 30-minute workout in, and I want to do chest, triceps, and abs, but I'm staying at an Airbnb. There's no equipment. Fitbod can create a perfectly optimized workout for me based on these parameters, and it'll do it for you too. Check it out. It's amazing. The design of this app is extraordinary. I was able to invest in it. That's how impressed I was with it. Fitbod takes the guesswork out of fitness. Just open the app and start making progress. You deserve it. Get 25% off your Fitbod subscription or try out the app for free when you sign up now at fitbod.me/twist. That's fitbod.me/twist for 25% off. So now when we talk about job destruction, now you're starting to see it compress. So if you didn't understand or believe when Sunny and I told you, hey, there's going to be whole swaths of jobs going away, now you can see it. Imagine, and sometimes it just takes a couple of steps for you to be able to visualize it. But it used to be that somebody would be in that whiteboarding session, or somebody would be the note taker in a meeting. The note taker is gone. The note taking from Zoom is better than a human can do today. So just to Eric and his team at Zoom, congratulations. Anybody whose job function was to take notes, that's gone. And that usually would be, what, an hour or two for somebody? They would circulate the notes from a meeting? That function's gone. It's done. Gone. Yeah. It's gone. It's gone today. Now, in corporate America, how many meetings occur per week? You know, how many meetings do you have at Definitive Intelligence a week, would you say?
Well, we try to limit them to a couple, you know, we really kind of picked off of what, you know, Toby and folks have done at Shopify and eliminate them. But you still have to have, you know, kind of
one a day. You go to one meeting a day, two meetings a day.
Well, customer side more, but internally, try to limit it to one or two a day.
So even with customer side, so now you're talking about 10 a week, 10 meetings a week, 2 hours to summarize them and take notes. It's 20 hours gone from your company. 20 times 50 weeks is 1,000 hours a week. The average, you know, person theoretically works 2,000 hours. At a startup, it might be like 2,500, and at corporate America, it might be 1,500. So you're either getting rid of a half a job or a job.
Yep.
Just with that one function. Now you take UX and design. You take, you know, that portion of it. I think you're going to cut that job or at least half the job, where instead of having three people do UX design, you're going to have one. Mm-hmm. Is that what you think is happening here?
Yeah. And if I could just like talk about something that, you know, John Chambers, who was a longtime CEO of Cisco, and I started my career at Cisco. I was at a startup.
You did? I didn't know that.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, he had this saying about the pace of innovation. He wrote a book recently and he was talking about it. And, he, you know, what he says, like, look at the cycles of what we've seen. And he kind of just used like operating systems. And he said, look, you know, we used to have a kind of mainframe operating system cycle was 10 years. Then we went to Windows and it became 5 years. Then we went to apps and it became every year, right? With like iOS, right? You get a new version of iOS every year. And so you're already seeing like a 10x compression in how fast the underlying, you know, systems that you're innovating on are kind of moving. Now the pace of innovation is down literally to minutes and hours, right? Mm. You can sit somewhere, map something out, have a prototype created, you know, deploy it into one of these cloud, like, you know, to pick your, you know, Replit, Colab, whatever you want. And so we're really compressing the pace of innovation faster than anyone's seen before. And that's why even you know, I'm surprised I'm giving those grades. I'm like, wow, like, I can't believe this big company integrated this thing in like 1 year. Cause we got so used to seeing new releases every year. Now the expectation's quicker. So
yeah. So the expectation's quicker. The ability to launch new things is quicker because of AI.
Yep.
And competition is forcing people to go faster. So you have this, and then I think consumers, and this is a bit, I got to give OpenAI credit for release early and often. Yep. And be embarrassed. And they did not care about hallucinations and they did not care about being wrong. And they did not care about the legal issue. So beg for forgiveness instead of asking for permission is a longstanding tradition, you know, in technology. Yeah. It can get you in a bit of trouble. It's OpenAI's got a wall of lawsuits to get through on all the stuff they trained, all the images they stole, all the content they stole to do this. And, you know, they're going to have to work through those.
Open
but to their
closed.
Credit, what's that?
Open to closed as well.
Open to closed. I mean, these are just details, as Vinod Khosla has reminded us. Sonny, these are just details. I mean, I literally is going to be my mantra. Whenever anybody challenges me on anything, they're like, hey, J-Cal, when I get pulled over for speeding on the 280 next time, the guy's going to be like, you were doing 84, you know, J-Cal. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be like, those are just details.
Details.
I was driving safe. Big picture. I'm in a safe car. I'm a great citizen. I create a lot of jobs and protect there.
Incredible.
Oh, so incredible. But I think to really help people visualize this, they took a picture, they gave it to ChatGPT for. It did stuff. But I want you to imagine a robot being in that room, if you will, an android, like from Blade Runner. And the android's in the room. And it's participating in the meeting. Yep. That's the little gap. That little gap is going to be a big change. Now, I haven't heard one person announce that yet. But if the note taker was live and the note taker was interjecting in the meeting and said, excuse me, I have three action items and I've put them into the chat room. Will you confirm that those are actual action items or let me know if you don't want them as action items? If it did that in real time or at the end of the meeting, like, imagine if the person at the end of this podcast said, hey, just some notes on the podcast. You mispronounced this word and you forgot to thank this person, you know, whatever. Be like, whoa, they're acting as a producer of a podcast, right? The producer AI is coming. It's all really interesting. And this is why Microsoft and Google have massive advantages, is because they're involved in your day-to-day life so much more than...
Or just one level beyond that, J-Cal, like, which I, you know, you and I have had this debate before, and I think you're coming towards my side on how fast things are going to happen, which is, because, you know, I was always calling it like more like 18 months. What if the feedback that you gave Microsoft on that demo was, you know, taken through a note-taking AI, and then another AI analyzed it, built the spec for it, and then another agent took that and wrote the code for it.
Mm. Yeah. So you're saying multiple agents, like the, what do we call that, baby GPT or whatever they were calling it in the early days?
But there's a few different ones. Yeah, exactly. Auto GPTs. There's baby AGI. Yeah. There's a few of these. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's actually very interesting. So let's think about this for a second. There's real-time interaction with humans and bots.
Yeah.
And then there's bots going off on their own side quests and building stuff. And so that's two different modalities for us interacting with super intelligence. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Like it's us seeding something for them and then them iterating on it, like the way humans do, but sort of endlessly until it gets to a result and then presenting it back to us.
See, this would be very interesting if I could say, hey, I'm raising my fourth venture firm. You've been involved in all the meetings. You have the database of all the folks. Give me some strategies every morning for what I should do next. And this would be like a coach. You know, I've always thought of like, oh, I wonder if I should have a coach or something.
Yeah.
You know, for either as a performer, as a host of podcasts, or should I have a coach, you know, as a CEO or an investor? And I never actually took the time really to do too much of that. I've tried it a couple of times with folks. But, you know, I do recommend it to, I think, first-time CEOs. But this could be like the coach that's like watching you. This is where like a Google or a Slack could be a really interesting coach. Like imagine if Slack started telling you, hey, you could be more positive. Or Zoom started telling you, you know, your tone. And I guess Gong does that and some of those other, that category of products.
Yeah. Good segue, J.Cal. You always do this. It's like you have
master
this,
of the
like,
segue.
You are the master of the segue because, you know, we're kind of there. So you were asking about, you know, wanting to go on walks. So inside the app version of ChatGPT now, which I just have open here.
Yeah.
You'll see if you enable in the settings, like voice chat, it's not voice input. And so you got to go in the settings and you'll get this little voice chat here. And I'm going to click it. And you're going to see this pop up. And so this is conversation mode. So explain the theory of relativity to me like I'm a 5-year old.
All right. Imagine you have a toy car and a toy airplane. If you push both of them, the airplane goes faster than the car, right? Now let's say there's a little clock inside each toy. The faster the toy goes, the slower.
So we've seen that example before, but when you're in that mode, it just goes into a constant chat. And so instead of listening to a podcast, J.Cal, so what I'm going to challenge you on your next walk, on your next, you know, you're doing these like walks now, your hikes, put it in that mode. And basically,
I don't have this mode. No, wait, you're saying this is under settings?
Yeah, you click the three dots and it may also be an enterprise feature.
I think it's enterprise.
And, yeah. And then you go to
your subscription says enterprise, not ChatGPT Plus.
Mine says ChatGPT Plus. It says new features. So down about in the middle here, JK on the settings says new features.
Oh, I don't have new features.
On the settings page.
Oh, wait, where's color the settings scheme. Page? Color. Okay, I see color scheme, new. Oh, new features.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, voice conversations. Found it. It was two levels deep. Okay. So now I have voice conversation. Oh, then let me try. Okay. Here we go. So now, I hit that headset mode in the top right.
Yeah, hit the headset. Yeah. And it's just, now you can talk to it.
I'm trying to lose weight and I like to eat a lot of protein. What's a healthy lunch option for me? Okay. It's thinking.
We want it to be faster here.
Lunch, you might consider a grilled chicken salad with lots of leafy greens and veggies.
Okay, so
add a vinaigrette made of olive oil and lemon juice for healthy fats. This gives you a good balance of protein, fiber, and healthy fats. Would you like more suggestions or perhaps a detailed recipe?
I hate chicken. Can you substitute another protein?
Of course. How about a tofu or tempeh salad instead?
That's a terrible suggestion. I like dead animals.
You can marinate the tofu or tempeh in some soy sauce and spices, then grill or saute it. Add it to a bed of leafy greens, mixed veggies, some avocados.
That's a horrible suggestion.
Does that sound more appealing to you?
That's a terrible suggestion. I want dead animals.
I got it. How about a steak salad then?
Okay, here we go. And interestingly, there's a tap to interrupt.
Sirloin, tenderloin, slice it thinly and add it to.
Do me a favor. Can you talk three times faster in this chat?
Good suggestion.
I can't control the speed of the text-to-speech, but I'll keep my answers brief for quick comprehension. How about a grilled steak salad with veggies and a light dressing?
That sounds great.
Protein and low in carbs. What do you think?
That sounds great. Is there a way for me to order that on Uber Eats?
Aye, aye, aye.
Hey, well,
certainly, look, you can find a variety of restaurants offering steak salads on Uber Eats. Just open the app, search for steak salad, and look for options near you. Make sure to read the ingredients to ensure it.
Okay, so, you know, it sucks. Again, D. I give it a D. Sorry, it sucks. It's too slow. It's too wordy. But, no, I'm going to, actually, I take it back. I'm going to give it a C+.
Okay.
Okay, I made a mistake there. It's a C+. I think the interface is almost perfect.
Yeah.
It should let me interrupt.
Interrupt.
I don't like tap to interrupt. I do not want, I want to stop this thing because it talks in a monotone. It's too freaking slow.
Yeah.
I need to stop it because this thing is like dealing with C-3PO and I'm Han Solo. I don't have time. I got to navigate in an asteroid field. Shut up, 3PO, and give me the data I need. So I think there's an efficiency thing here. If this is going to take off, it's got to be more efficient. Period, full stop.
Yeah. But J-Cal, what you just talked about there in terms of interrupt mode and like speed up mode, those are features that engineers can bang out in like a week.
A day.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
And once you have that, I mean, think about podcasting or think about like what you're listening to, how that's going to fundamentally change. That's what was on my mind. Like all the stuff I want to learn about, now I can do when I'm on my walk or doing a workout. I think that's incredible. Just, you know, have it there and really listen to it. That, you know.
Yeah. I have to say, this is, again, we're starting to see the future here. It's revealing itself by just turning over cards. You know, we saw the flop. That was language models. Now we're starting to see the turn, which is, hey, these agents are going to be hanging out all around us and working with us in real time. That's the turn at the end of year one, because you're right, ChatGPT-4, exactly right, November of last year. Now, what's the river going to be here? If we're going to take a guess at the river, what's the final card turnover? Because I think we are in agreement. Language models was a flop.
Yep.
You turn multimodal. Is these bots multimodal, like it's just they're interacting with us, their peers. What is the river? What's going to be the AGI. Final card here? AGI. That's exactly what AGI. I was going to say. Why? Yep. Explain what it is and how it's going to work. And then how far are we from it? All of that.
So what it will be is right now, and it's sort of like building on what the feedback you've been giving it, right? It's like everyone should understand the profile of J-Cal, right? Without, you know, when you want to launch a product, you want J-Cal, you should know it should be very brief. It should be quick. You should be able to speed things up. And so personalization will be the key thing to AGI, in that you don't really need the generic notion of AGI, but like something that is built custom for you. And the experience it's providing you doesn't require you to continually tune it and give it all this feedback. So I think we'll see that first. And then, you know, beyond that, there's a line that, you know, people start to cross where it gets scary, which is like, it already knows what you have to do and it does it for you. And think about your day, J-Cal, and how much of it could be automated, right? Like, you know, it really could. If something was monitoring you every day, not to say, you know, what you're doing isn't valuable, but there's probably 80% of your day that could be automated by like an agent that's replicating what you're doing. And then it allows you to either work less or refocus your energy. And I think we're going to get that in terms of time frame. I still stick to 18 months. You'll be there and there'll be like you're talking about, you know, we already have these like inside the Zoom, someone taking minutes. There'll be like a virtual J-Cal and interacting with the combination of launch and inside and doing 80% of what you do.
Pretty amazing. I feel like we're getting very close to the end game. And these agents, right now, we have to go interact with it. The agents are going to be proactively and in real time interacting. That's going to be year two. And then I agree, year three will feel like AGI, general intelligence, basically. And, you know, general intelligence, I guess, is how do we know? How do we know that we have achieved the general intelligence?
Iron Man?
Yes.
Right? And Jarvis?
Jarvis, yes.
I think movies do a good job of telling us like what we want and how it should play out. Jarvis does an incredible job.
Yes.
Right? And, you know, if you watch the Iron Man movies, even they involved like what Jarvis was capable of doing. It also did something really terrible when it merged with the
Ultron. What was it?
Ultron, right? And then
the Age of Ultron.
Yeah. And then, you know, tried to destroy all humans. But let's assume that doesn't happen. And, you know, the rest of it was incredible, right? You know, how it interacted with Tony, how it helped Tony. You know, wasn't asking so many questions. It was proactive.
It's interesting that you mentioned that, because in the early ones, he was telling it like, do tasks, do this task, give me like this armor. But then by the next one, it was kind of like informing him like, hey, this is happening. We have, here are some strat. It was more strategic as it went on. And then it became kind of its own entity. And that's when the problem happens. So shout out to Jon Favreau and you know, the folks who constructed that world. Because they did actually take you on that journey. I think it would be something to look into of how long, you know, that tech took to be adopted by people. And I think, you know, it's one of the things that's incredibly frustrating to me is I'm trying to get people on board with this in my organizations. And, you know, it's like I'm pushing them and dragging them and prodding them and asking them in their daily reports to, you know, link to and share links with everybody of what they're using it for. And, you know, listen, people are, you know, old dogs don't learn new tricks. I think what's going to happen here is there's a lot of new tricks coming, folks. And if you don't learn these tricks, you're going to be an old dog. Even if you're young, even if you're 30 years old and you don't use this technology, you will be put in the old dog. You'll be put out to pasture. You know, they put those old dogs down.
Site that was like, why don't you Google it or something? When
someone, let me Google that for you. Let me Google that for you. There's going to be let me GPT that for you.
Well, whenever someone asks me some basic kind of question, I just put it in a ChatGPT and just send back the ChatGPT share link now.
Let me Google that.
I just respond with that. I just respond with that. That's hilarious. Yeah.
Yes. Because I mean, I did that recently with my team. I shared them a link. Yeah. And, you know, as the data becomes, you know, more integrated and structured, as we saw with Bard's integration, and now they just put Bing back online. The thing I noticed about the Bing being turned back on in ChatGPT-4 is that it's faster and more stable now. Remember, it kind of crashed every time and it wasn't good?
That's why they took it out, right? Because I think it was
Was that the reason? I thought it was copyright issues.
I mean, it's probably a combination of things, but I think, you know, the user experience wasn't quite there. And it's much better now. And I think it took sort of you know, even Google had an announcement last week around robots.txt. You can have it say, you can use me for search, but not for AI, right? So I think everyone was just kind of going through that compliance world as well. But I do think when it comes to building these systems and having LLMs interact with like existing systems, there is work to be done. We even see that in our day to day. And I think it's, you know, it's happening in the background really, really quickly.
Well, here you have it, folks. Here, let me share this with you here. I think, you know, this is where the browsing is actually working pretty well. I just asked it, what are the top 5 news stories today? And I think it's a pretty good summary. New York alleges Trump committed over $1 billion in fraud during their trial. Nobel Prize. Ukraine's taunting Elon Musk in a taunts Elon Musk post, a meme mocking Zelensky, over 100 Amazon dolphins found dead due to heat and drought. And it did this from the Reuters site. And it did put one citation. Did you notice that?
It looks like all the stories were cited directly from here too. I see 3 of them at least.
Yeah.
Oh, four
so it,
of them.
It just took the, you know what it did? It went to the Reuters top news page and just pulled it out there. So that's interesting. It's going to, that must be like a top news page that it found. So interesting. We're getting
Sonny,
there.
Sonny, can I ask you a technical question about these LLMs and how useful they are? So I found the most useful for us for our use case is Claude 2 by Anthropic.
Large context size.
Exactly. Their context window, I think, is like 100,000 tokens or more. You could basically put in an entire novel and it can break it down for you. ChatGPT's I've read is somewhere between 10 to 20,000. Why is Claude so much larger? Why hasn't ChatGPT or OpenAI made theirs larger? And what is stopping everyone else from doing that? Is it just a matter of compute, or it's just the way that they structure their LLM, or have they figured something? Has Anthropic figured something out that OpenAI hasn't?
So kind of a couple of good questions in there. Let me try to summarize. So I think ChatGPT in private beta has 32K, or if you're on like, you know, or if you're an enterprise customer, they have 32K available through their APIs. And so everyone is increasing. I think it started with like 8K or 6K. So we're already starting to see that people can increase the context window. So it's not a limitation. I think it was just focus. And the founder of Anthropic was like the head of engineering for OpenAI. And I think, you know, like it happens in startups, like his idea was like there's some core principles that, you know, came out of the Google papers. And his thinking was the value would be more towards creating a bigger context window, where others probably went for bigger parameter space. It's just sort of, and remember, we talked about this before, think of like more parameters as more neurons, like the more powerful the brain is. And a context window is just like another, like, I don't want to call it a feature, but it's just like another element of making these things. And they focused on taking that in. It's just when you do that, it requires sort of like a different initial approach. But my guess is within 6 months, we'll see all of the large models, including the open source ones, have the super large context windows. It's not a barrier that's like no one else can catch up to.
Right. So maybe I just have a really niche use case for it.
And you just use the Claude that's like available generally. It's not paid or Claude anything.
Yeah.
So Anthropic is just free. And Anthropic was the one that Amazon just put $4 billion into. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct. And interesting, Google put a couple hundred million in just a few months ago before that.
So that's fascinating.
Yeah.
And then what about this Falcon model?
We transcribe. If someone's coming on the podcast, we transcribe their recent interviews, right? Sometimes it's an hour long podcast interview. We get all of it into a transcription and we upload that transcription as a TXT file into Claude. And it gives us like the top 10 to 15 bullet points of the most interesting things they said, the things that are, you know, key takeaways. You can't do that in ChatGPT because their context window isn't big enough. So that's why I use Claude for more things than I use ChatGPT for right now.
Really interesting, because I do think that these are all stealing content from the same web pages. Like I asked it, who are the best business authors to have on my podcast? And it did Simon Sinek, Daniel Pink, Malcolm Gladwell, Brené Brown, Seth Godin, Amy Cuddy, Adam Grant, and Patrick Lencioni. Okay. Now I asked ChatGPT-4 the same exact question, right? Top business authors. And I think they're sourcing from like the same pool, because it gave me almost the same exact list.
Well, we talked about this, right, Jake Held? Yeah. There's not just one, but there's a few core data sets that everyone's trained off of. One is Common Crawl.
Yes, right? Common Crawl.
And so,
right.
And my guess is much of that is coming from Common Crawl rather than something proprietary. And this is why the discussion around the need for real differentiation rather than like technology, which Nick was talking about, will come from data sets. And that ties back into like, you know, when we demoed the Google extensions and things like that, the proprietary data will end up being a lot more valuable than technology innovations. Cause I think we're going to see technology innovations happen that put things on par very, very quickly.
And the thing that's going to be very interesting is the Common Crawl states very clearly, we didn't produce the crawled content. We just found it on the web. So we are not vouching for the content or liable if there is something wrong with it. And this is the thing, you know, you have to find out each of the website's terms of service. Not just because you used Common Crawl doesn't give you a pass for the terms of service of each of those sites that they crawled. So you must keep that in mind when you're building these language models. And I think this is going to be, you know, the Common Crawl terms of service is where you're going to see a lot of these lawsuits, you know, make their bones is. And I think that's going to be the defense of some of these language models. Anything else happen, or just as we wrap up here real quick, that you wanted to note or mention?
Well, we've got Meta. We can do it now, or we can save it for the next one.
Let's just do a Flash Meta. Flash Meta. Okay, I know that they added, okay. Flash the Meta there, because they added in WhatsApp,
in WhatsApp.
Agent, right? There's an agent.
So I'm
going
to have to do this via my phone.
Okay, no problem.
I'm gonna show you guys just right now. So I'm going to just do it via my phone here. Yeah, you open your WhatsApp and you're going to click create a new chat.
Okay.
And in your create a new chat, you can say new AI chat, which is my fourth option down. If you look
new
at your
AI
screen,
chat, there it is. I got it.
Yeah. And then
request
here,
early access. Okay.
And here, what you can see is you have the general AI bot, which is the same as sort of what we've been playing around with, right? Like Meta AI Assistant. And then there's these personality bots that the face of them are well-known people. This looks like, you know, Padma Lakshmi and Tom Brady and Snoop and Chris Paul's down here. But they don't seem to have anything to do with their personality.
Do they have permission to use those images? Like Amber is clearly Paris Hilton.
Yeah, I think when they did this announcement, they did say they partnered with these folks. I don't think they could use... But like what you're not getting is like a conversation with, you know, Tom Brady or, you know, you know, I guess this is Kendall Jenner here. You're getting sort of like an interesting chat. It's very, feels like very much like character AI.
Mm-hmm.
And,
sure.
But you're not like really, like they haven't taken the essence of Tom Brady and put it into one of these bots, but it's an official partnership with them. And so. Yeah. I'll click on Brew, you know, confident sports debater, and then it'll start a chat. And then at the bottom, you know, I can kind of, it gives me some, like, I like this, like prompts. Kind of blank canvas stuff.
Yeah.
Some prompts.
So ask about the Knicks. How good are the Knicks going to be?
Oh, okay. I'll do that next.
Okay. Whatever. Top QBs this season.
Yeah. So, you know, it spits out an answer, which is great. Let's see. It says Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes are leading the pack. But okay, that's pretty accurate. But Aaron Rodgers is out, so that's kind of it doesn't have that because Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles, right? Okay, what do you think about the Knicks this coming season?
Hmm. Oh wow, this and is so interesting too. Yeah. Wow.
And so.
Now, I wonder if it's going to go out to the web and have fresh information. Okay.
Well, Jalen Brunson was there last year.
That was last year. So this looks like last year's. Yeah. They're kind of, so who knows what they're.
Yeah.
I just asked the chef, there's a sous chef, and I just said grilled cheese, and he started talking to me. And I said, looking for something unique and delicious in the grilled cheese area. He said, unique and delicious. Gotcha covered. How about a Korean style grilled cheese with kimchi and bulgogi beef? That sounds good. Or a Mediterranean fusion with feta, spinach, and lamb. Nice suggestions, actually. Nice suggestions. Can I get the recipes? Of course, my eager beaver friend. For Korean style grilled cheese, mix bulgogi beef with kimchi and melted cheddar on crispy sourdough bread. Mediterranean fusion requires feta cheese, spinach, murder sausage, and a sprinkle of... Okay. How do I make it? Not recipe. It was more the ingredients list. And it says, for Korean-style bulgogi and beef, kimchi, add cheese and close the lid and melt to goodness. Okay, so it's starting to give me the instructions. I have to say, this is an incredible experience.
Well, and you know, kind of being
hold on
within
a second.
Your
whoa.
Chat...
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so...
Whoa, wait a second.
What's cool is being within your chat is like your, it's a good branching place for things because you can do that and then send it off to, you know, whatever your discussion is.
Can I include
is.
You? Can you and I and the chef have a conversation together? Could it be three of us?
I don't think so.
So that's an obvious miss.
Yeah.
But this would be super interesting. If there was an AI in our group chat and we were talking about, you know, let's say there was an economist in there.
Yeah.
And we could say, hey, tell us the unemployment rate. Boom. And, you know, hey, what is the, you know, give us the last 10 years of, you know, Alphabet's revenue.
Yeah.
I have to say, I know this is going to be crazy because we have to give it a letter grade here as we're apt to do. And so I hate to do this because, you know, me and my feelings on Zuck, I'm giving this a B+. It's my highest rating so far.
Whoa,
I think it's a B+.
Okay.
Honestly, I just had a great interaction here with a foodie. It's a verticalized AI. I'm having a good thing. I could see myself using this today. And it, the only reason I'm not giving this an A is because it's not integrated into group chat. Yeah. This is so dumb. Why can't I have the agent in my group chat? Like, if my wife and I were in here with my kid, my 13-year-old, yeah, hey, that would, we could talk about what we're going to have for dinner.
It's a technological limit. I think that, like, look, again, kudos to them doing it fast. They, and what's behind is
what's the, what's your letter grade?
This one, I'm with you. Like, I'm at a, you know, B plus, A minus on this one.
Look at the inflation. Pick one.
B plus.
Okay. I mean, you can pick A minus. I'm not trying to influence you here. If you feel it's an A minus, give it an A minus.
No, like for me, okay. What I really like about this one is, out of all the ones that we've tested so far, the model behind this is open source.
Yeah.
As well. So, you know, so maybe with that, I'm going to actually, let me change my grade to an A minus, because the model is open source. And then, and you know, so you can, the power of this is also available to any developer out there, versus a lot of the other ones is still proprietary.
Got it.
Yeah.
I am super impressed. I'm just going to give a shout out to the team at Meta. Keep going. This is a, what I like about this execution is they know what they're doing in terms of user experience. They're not trying to be everything to all people. They're just trying to make a certain verticalized app work, which is, you know, talk to a chef, talk to a sports person, have a conversation with them. Now, you need to have the latest information for sports.
Yep.
But for food, I don't need the latest information. I don't care if there's like some grilled cheese that debuted last month. I just want to make a great grilled cheese for my girls tonight. So,
yep.
Mission accomplished. Like the Mediterranean ones, I never even considered that. I mean, I'm thinking shawarma, feta, hummus, some tomato, and then what's a good Mediterranean bread? Pita. So I put it in a pita and grill it? No, I'm going to put it on white bread and do it. So it's going to be...
Lavoche is good too.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
That's a super thin one.
Oh, lavoche is a super thin one. Oh, right. Yeah. I have had that. No, but I'm thinking you go with American classic bread, Wonder Bread.
Yeah.
And then you mix the cultures, right?
Yeah.
That's when you get some sort of interesting fears. All right, everybody, this has been Mondays with Sandeep Madra, where we do all the AI demos, all your AI demos. You don't have to scour the web. You don't have to keep up with AI. Sunny and I are keeping up with AI. We're giving you the letter grades. We're telling you to what to look at first. Get into the show notes. Subscribe. Tell your friends. Write a review and put in the YouTube comments what you want to see next week, or any other demos that we missed. Definitive Intelligence, you can do a search. Sandeep Madra, he's Sandeep. You're at Sandeep, right? Your first name club?
At Sandeep,
On X.
Yes,
formerly known as Twitter. We'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.